We'll call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Please silence all cell phones. The time is 9:35 on Wednesday, February 14th, 2024. I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. Today I'm joined by Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, and myself, Senator Olson. Senator Stedman is away on other state business, and Senator Hoffman will be here shortly. I'd like to acknowledge that Senator Geisel is also in the room. We have one bill on the agenda today, and that's Senate Bill 91 by Senator Klayman. Senate Bill 91 is the telehealth multidisciplinary care teams that he sponsored. This is his first hearing. Senator Klayman, would you like to come on up to the up to the microphone with your aide and go ahead and identify yourself and go ahead with your presentation? You're welcome to come up to as well, since you're giving this, you're giving the sectional analysis, aren't you? Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, I'm Matt Klayman, Senator for District H in West Anchorage. Our office began work on Senate Bill 91, the Multidisciplinary Care Team Telehealth Bill, in the summer of 2022 after we were contacted by a constituent who had recently been diagnosed with ALS. Upon receiving her diagnosis, Sheila Swanson flew to Seattle to receive specialty treatment. Receiving the kind of care she needs is not possible in Alaska, as there are about 30 Alaskans with ALS diagnoses and no clinics that specialize in this area of care. Sheila was told that she could continue to receive care from her physician via telehealth, but would need to fly to Seattle to receive in-person care from the other seven members of her multidisciplinary ALS care team, including a respiratory therapist, speech therapist, or speech-language pathologist, and physical therapist. Sheila describes the care she receives from the clinic as excellent. Their expertise and ability to provide specific and timely care is essential for her quality of life. They are committed to her care and have begun the process of coordinating with local providers to allow the constituent more timely care, but it is not to the level that her needs require. She is traveling quarterly to Seattle to try to supplement accordingly. I believe this process is an unintended outcome of the telehealth bill, HB 265, that passed in 2022. Our focus is on ensuring that people like Sheila can receive the care they need for her serious illness. Sheila had planned to join us as invited testimony last spring, but she has lost much of her ability to speak over the last year. And so for today, her written testimony only is included in your bill packet. I encourage you to read her letter to learn about her own experience. Senate Bill 91 will allow out-of-state multidisciplinary care team members to provide telehealth services. In 2022, the legislature passed House Bill 265, which created a framework and statute for telehealth and ensured Alaskans' access to critical health care. The legislation before you amends House Bill 265 by adding multidisciplinary care teams as an option for telehealth. Multidisciplinary care teams provide integrated care that is not available in-state. Senate Bill 91 will expand telehealth options to ensure that Alaskans can receive specialized care that's consistent with their needs while remaining in their local support network whenever possible. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have, and next, my staff, Carl Lubke, will walk you through a sectional analysis of the bill.
Before we go on to the sectional analysis, do we have any questions by members of the committee of the bill sponsor? It certainly is one of those things I think it's absolutely necessary if we're going to try and cut down on all the bureaucratic red tape and the expenses that goes along with it to try and help some of these people with ALS, which is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. But it's one of those things that certainly needs to be, well, you can see the deterioration of people that for over a short period of time, they can start to lose their ability to speak. So I applaud you for bringing this forward. If there are no further questions, we'll go ahead and have the sectional analysis. Identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your.
For the record, my name is Claire Lepke and I'm staff to Senator Klayman. Section 1 amends AS 0802-130, subsection B, to expand who may provide healthcare services through telehealth. An out-of-state member of the physician's multidisciplinary care team may provide telehealth services under the following conditions. 1. For ongoing treatment or follow-up care by the member of the physician's multidisciplinary care team if the physician and patient have an established physician-patient relationship and the physician has previously conducted an in-person visit, or 2, for a visit regarding a suspected or diagnosed life-threatening condition for which the patient has been referred to the physician licensed in another state or a member of the physician's multidisciplinary care team, and the visit involves communication with the patient regarding diagnostic or treatment plan options or analysis of test results for the life-threatening condition. Section 2 amends AS 0802-130 to change the definition of healthcare provider in Section J1 to include a member of multidisciplinary care team. Section 3 amends AS 0802-130 to create a definition for member of a multidisciplinary care team in subsection 5 to mean an audiologist, speech-language pathologist, behavior analyst, professional counselor, dietitian, nutritionist, naturopath, marital and family therapist, podiatrist, osteopath, physician assistant, nurse, pharmacist, physical therapist, occupational therapist, psychologist or psychological associate, or a social worker who is a member of a team that includes a physician licensed in another state who meets the requirements of B1 of this section. Section 4 amends AS 0802-130 to create new subsections relating to the registration of multidisciplinary care team members with the Telemedicine Business Registry. Subsection K states that a member of a multidisciplinary care team shall register with the department before providing services to a patient located in Alaska. This registration includes submitting 1, the name of the physician leading the multidisciplinary care team, 2, the area of healthcare in which the member of the multidisciplinary care team will be practicing and proof of licensure in a state or territory of the United States in that area, and 3, any applicable fees. Section 5 amends AS 0802 to create new sections to the telehealth statute for disciplinary sanctions. AS 0802-135 creates grounds for imposition of disciplinary sanctions of out-of-state multidisciplinary care team members, and AS 0802-140 creates disciplinary sanctions for out-of-state multidisciplinary care team members. Section 6 amends AS 4433-381, subsection B, by adding that the department may renew every 2 years the registration of a business that meets all renewal requirements established by regulation and pays a renewal fee every 2 years. Section 7 amends AS 4433-381 to create a new subsection D that includes the following fees that the department shall charge businesses performing telemedicine services in the state. 1, initial registration fee, $100, adjusted for inflation in a manner determined by the department. 2, renewal fee, $100, adjusted for inflation in a manner determined by the department. And 3, fee to report changes in the business's registration information, $50. That concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Ms. Lubke or the bill sponsor? I'm sorry, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question on the specific text right at the top of the bill. On page 1, it says that a member of the care team can provide service through telehealth only if that service is not reasonably available in the state. There's at least one of every specialty in the definition of a member of the care team in the state. Can you help us understand what is meant by the service is not reasonably available in the state? Is that specific to multidisciplinary audiology and multidisciplinary pathology? And how should we understand that?
Senator Klayman.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, our understanding is that the goal of the bill is directed towards multidisciplinary care teams, but the question specifically with the language on lines 9, 10, and 11, raises reasonable questions about does that language really address the appropriate concerns for access to telehealth? I think you may want to take a look at that and confer with Ledge Legal to see whether or not that specific language may need a minor adjustment. And again, you know, the notion is not that because there's a physical therapist in Alaska that one can't see a physical therapist on a multidisciplinary care team for treating ALS. The goal is that can the kind of expertise that that provider brings to the patient, is that available in reasonably available in Alaska? And if it's not reasonably available in Alaska, then one should be able to access that through telehealth.
Senator Keel, follow up?
Slightly different topic, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Please go ahead.
Elsewhere in the bill, there's a different approach to registering the providers, out-of-state providers. And in our existing law that I don't think the bill touches, an out-of-state physician who sees Alaska patients just has to register the business with the state, I think. I don't believe we need to register every individual provider. I think, forgetting which section, the bill takes a different approach of registering every single person on the care team. Was that a conscious decision to, is there a higher risk factor here, or is why the delta?
Senator Klayman.
Senator Klayman, I think you're asking specifically about Section 4 of the bill, which adds a new subsection to AS 0802.130, and that would require, for example, the physical therapist that we were talking about on a multidisciplinary care team. Under this section, the physical therapist would have to individually register with the department. And in contrast, in 2016, we passed legislation that required businesses that were providing telehealth to register the business with the state. And there's actually changes that appears in AS 4433381, and there actually is a minor modification to that statute in Section 6 of the bill. But the point of the approach that was taken starting in 2016 with the telehealth registry, and then that was incorporated in the telehealth bill in 2022, HB 265, that all worked on the notion, not the notion, but the practice that the business was registering. So say, for example, University of Washington has an Alaska business license. They might have 25 providers that would be providing telehealth under their business license, but the only registrant under the existing law would be the business, not the 25 providers at University of Washington. And so I think through the drafting process, at least my perspective from looking back at this, I think that wasn't intended. I think the interest is that the registration practices that have been in place starting in 2016 with the passage of what is 4433381, that those same practices should apply, so that, again, if you had a physical therapist like we've been talking about at University of Washington, that individual wouldn't need to individually register with the state of Alaska, but that the business license with University of Washington, presuming they have registered, they would register. And there's a letter that should be in the documents dated March 27 that was sent to Senator Wilson in his role as chair of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee that's describing the number of businesses that registered under the telehealth registry starting in 2017 following passage of the law in 2016, 1,500 businesses as of 2022 after passage of HB 265. There were now about 1,650 registered businesses, and most of those are in Alaska, but there's a number out of state, and so our view is that we should be continuing those practices.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Senator
Steele? Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We'll call on that ease. Senate Finance Committee back to order. Any further questions by members of the committee for either the bill sponsor or his staff aide that's here? If not, thank you very much. Next we have up is in the room Sylvan Robb, the director of the Division of Corporations Business Professional Licensing, etc. Would you mind coming on up here and either go ahead and go through the fiscal note, or we can, there seems to be some questions about who's being charged what and who's going where. So it makes it hard to go ahead and try and follow it. So we just kind of clear where we started out and then where we're at now, how we got there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Sylvan Robb, the Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing at the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. You should have before you the fiscal note for the CS for SB 91. And there you will see costs in FY 25 of $159,300. This is for the addition of one new investigator, three. We don't have figures on how many additional people we may need to investigate who are operating without an Alaska license. But in seven of the last 11 audits conducted by legislative audit on the division, investigations have been mentioned. Four of those specifically call out timeliness of investigations. And Mr. Chair, we really don't have a lot of slack in the system to absorb additional work. And given that there are concerns about the timeliness, we are hesitant to add any additional work to our current staff.
As you look at other states that have had this type of same situation come before them, has there been a need for more than one investigator?
Mr. Chair, we have not looked at other states, but we would certainly be happy to undertake that investigation. It is worth noting that professional licensing is handled differently in many states. In a number of states, the investigation unit is separate from the portion of the agency that conducts licensing and issues licenses. So there may not be a one-to-one, but we're certainly happy to look and see what other states are doing who are structured in a similar way to Alaska.
Okay. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Robb, good morning. Maybe a little briefer on how it's been going since we have the telehealth provisions we have now. How many investigations, how many disciplinary actions is the division or its board taking on telehealth providers outside the state?
Ms. Robb.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, thank you for that question. I checked this morning, we have not seen any complaints related to physicians, currently the only professionals who are allowed to operate in Alaska without an Alaska license. But this bill does add 17 additional professions to the individuals who can operate without a license. Again, we're a little blind on what the numbers may be. Certainly, I think the thought with the bill is that this will be, very specific diagnoses, but we just don't know what to expect if we get multidisciplinary care teams, in many states, people going to Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, different places in Seattle. We don't want to slow down investigations for Alaska licensees.
Sure. It's understandable. Follow-up, Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many, you may not know the number of providers. I was going to ask how many out-of-state providers, but if you don't have that number, how many out-of-state businesses?
Ms. Robb.
Through the chair, Senator Keel. So the telemedicine business registry, as of this morning, there were 1,810 businesses registered, although as previously noted, that is a perpetual registry. So it just continues to grow. Certainly the intent is that people would remove themselves if they're not continuing to provide telemedicine in Alaska, but we don't really have a way to assess if that's occurring.
Follow-up, Senator Keel. Not Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Section 7, can you just give me explain to me what's the mechanism you would use for adjusting for inflation in a manner determined by the department?
Ms. Robb.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, we don't have any fees that are currently adjusted for inflation, so this would be new territory for the division. Without having done some research, certainly I think we would look to, widely available metrics of inflation that exist, CPI or other items put out by the U.S. Bureau of Labor.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee of Ms. Robb and the fiscal note that we have before us? Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Ms. Robb. On Section 7, that fee before it was changed to 100, what's the current fee right now for registration for telehealth providers?
Ms. Robb.
Through the chair to Senator Wilson, the current fee to register with the telemedicine business registry is $50.
Thank you.
Any further follow-up or any questions for Ms. Robb before we let her go back to the bench? Thank you very much for coming out this morning.
My pleasure.
Next, we're going to come up with invited testimony. We have Tim Jennings and Gail Bratton, one of which has been diagnosed with ALS and the other is the spouse. They have a pre-recorded audio portion that's going to be played for us.
Honorable chairs and members of the Senate Finance Committee, my name is Gail Brayton, and I have lived in Alaska since 1983.
And my name is Tim Jennings, and I've lived in Alaska since 1968. I have ALS, which is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Thank you for the opportunity of allowing us to testify in favor of Senate Bill 91. Healthcare for ALS is a challenge. SB 91 will allow us to accomplish at least some of our healthcare via telehealth. ALS is tremendously difficult and challenging disease. Tim will lose his ability to speak, swallow, and walk in just a few short years. There is no known cure. In 1995, they approved the first drug for ALS. It took 22 years for the next drug to be approved, and then in the last 3 years, three new drugs have been approved. So research is fast-paced. When Tim was diagnosed, he was told that the best outcome and quality of life that he can get with ALS is to attend an ALS multidisciplinary clinic where everybody coordinates their care and focuses on all the nuances and research of ALS. We need the advantage of telehealth with all members of the healthcare team who are staying up with the research to manage it. That's why we need SB 91. We will be attending our first ALS clinic at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota on February 20th. During our half-day session, we will be meeting with almost 9 different people, a neurologist, a social worker, and therapists and specialists in physical rehabilitation, speech, diet, self-care, respiration, clinical trials, and palliative care. For our best outcome, they recommend that Tim goes to that clinic once every 3 months. Travel is time-consuming, red eyes are a bugger, and it is expensive. As the disease progresses, it will become nearly impossible to travel. Telemedicine with all members of the ALS clinic will be key to managing this disease. But unless SB 91 passes, that will not be possible. Time is of the essence with this short terminal prognosis for this disease. Please act now. Keep Alaskans in Alaska and help terminally ill patients like my husband receive the integrated health care that will help him achieve the best quality of life possible. We urge you, please pass Senate Bill 91.
Thank you for your allowing us to testify and your consideration of Senate Bill 91. It will allow all members of my health care team to meet with me via telehealth.
We want to thank you for coming out this morning and having that. It is a recording, correct? And so there's no reason we cannot ask them any questions or anything like that. Okay, well, thank you very much for presenting that. Next up we have is Dr. Elena Howard, the Associate Professor of Rehabilitation at the University of Washington. She also has a pre-recorded video testimony on the computer. Senator Clayman's aid will go ahead.
My name is Elena. Elena Howard. I'm an Associate Professor of Rehabilitation at the University of Washington, and medical co-director of an ALS Center of Excellence within the federal healthcare system. Today, I'm speaking on behalf of myself and not formally representing the views of the U.S. government. I've had the privilege of caring for Alaskans with ALS by telehealth over the past 9 years. Alaskans face significant barriers towards accessing subspecialized care, and there's significant healthcare workforce shortages across the United States, making access to subspecialized care like ALS clinics difficult for many Americans. By the time many Alaskans are diagnosed with ALS, they're already at advanced stages of disease, and they and their families need to have highly subspecialized care providers through a multidisciplinary team to guide them to appropriate resources and treatment to maximize their function and quality of life. Multidisciplinary care is the standard of care for ALS, and it's the most effective treatment we have to extend life expectancy. In fact, it's more effective than any of the four FDA-approved medications currently available for this disease. This has been the standard of care for treating ALS since 1999, and that fact is currently reflected by pending legislation federally in Congress that would provide bundled care for this approach to treat individuals with ALS. However, for those individuals and families living with ALS right now, they can't wait for that legislation to pass to make that care a reality. They require highly coordinated wraparound care that provides proactive, anticipatory support and guidance for their families, and serves not only as a resource for their families and themselves, but also for their local clinicians and specialists that have less experience in ALS and rely on the subspecialists to provide guidance on medications and safety when they need procedures or interventions. And that's exactly what our clinic does. In the state of Washington, we have 4 ALS certified centers of excellence. Most centers will involve the care of a physician, a specialized nurse, physical, occupational, and speech therapy, respiratory therapy, social work, nutritionist, and mental health support, such as psychology. For other disease conditions, oftentimes the multidisciplinary team is smaller than what's required for ALS. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my experience. I'm sorry that I couldn't be there today, but please feel free to reach out if I can answer any questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you for playing that. Next, we have up Brooke Lavander, the ALS Association, who's on teleconference. Ms. Lavander, are you on, ma'am?
For other disease conditions, oftentimes the multidisciplinary team is smaller than what's required for ALS. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my experience. Sorry that I couldn't be there today, but please feel free to reach out if I can answer any questions. Thank you so much.
Thanks for playing that. Next we have up the Bander, the ALS Association, who's on teleconference.
Call next. Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. Go ahead.
Hi, just making sure you can hear me.
You're coming in loud and clear this time.
Okay, thank you to the Chairs Hoffman, Stedman, Olson, and the Finance Committee members for allowing me to provide testimony today. For the record, my name is Brooke Lavender. I live in Girdwood, Alaska, and I am a Care Services Manager for the ALS Association. I'm here to express my strong support for Senate Bill 91. As someone deeply involved in supporting individuals with ALS in Alaska, I've seen firsthand the transformative impact that telehealth services can have on patients' lives. I am also here as a family member of someone who was diagnosed with ALS. This summer, I lost my cousin and hero, Nick Sloan, to ALS at only 46 years old. He was diagnosed at 43, a Marine veteran of four, married to his high school sweetheart. One of my last promises to Nick was that I would fight for people who have been diagnosed with ALS. For me, this bill is a part of that fight. Telehealth allows individuals to access specialized care more efficiently, regardless of their location within our vast state. For instance, veterans with ALS receiving care through telehealth at the VA who have access to the entire care team experience expedited access to equipment and timely management of their health concerns. This not only improves their quality of life, but also reduces unnecessary suffering. My clients who are not seen at the VA are often seen at clinics until they can no longer travel, and then they are forced to suffer through the end of their disease with support only from their doctor instead of the care team of experts they established when they were diagnosed. There are also risks related to traveling, such as respiratory illnesses, equipment being damaged, and injury from falling. The cost that it takes to travel to clinic could also instead be used to purchase additional medical services, equipment, medication, caregivers, and more. SB 91 also recognizes the importance of multidisciplinary care teams in delivering comprehensive healthcare services. By allowing licensed professionals from various disciplines who have specialized knowledge on terminal diseases to collaborate effectively, patients receive care that addresses their unique needs. This approach not only enhances patient outcomes, but also promotes a more compassionate and patient-centered healthcare system. By using telehealth teams, we can also provide equal access to folks who live in rural areas in Alaska and alleviate their travel burden costs and risks. The average annual cost that ALS patients are burdened with is about $143,000. SB 91 represents a significant step forward in advancing healthcare accessibility, quality, and compassion in Alaska. I urge you to support this critical legislation as it will undoubtedly benefit individuals with rare diseases like ALS and improve healthcare outcomes for all Alaskans. Thank you for your attention to this matter, and thank you to Senator Clayman for putting this bill forward.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Ms. Lavender? Ms. Lavender, thank you very much for staying involved even after the passing of your husband. Next up we have is Emily Nina. Next up, we have Emily Ninon with the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network. Ms. Ninon, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Olson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emily Ninon. I'm the Alaska Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network. And thank you for your time taking up this issue today. As a patient advocacy organization, I'm coming before you with two goals: increase access to care and ensure strong patient protections. So we're in a bit of a unique situation of looking at both sides of this issue, wanting to increase care for people with serious complex medical conditions and make sure that patients have reasonable access to make sure that there's regulations over the providers that they're seeing. The intent of the bill before you is to expand access only to a really narrow group of additional providers. So the trick is that definition of the multidisciplinary care team. The team is the most important part of that piece. So we are talking about people that are working together off of the same care plan, putting together, working off the same chart, that are really unified in what they're doing. You've heard a lot about how this works for ALS. It's actually a tremendous model that the ALS community has developed in order to care for patients in a really unified way and making sure that all those providers are talking to each other. What we see in cancer can be similar at times. a situation that might come up is if you have a surgery, if you have flown outside Alaska for that surgery and you need to do a follow-up after surgery, oftentimes the surgeon is back in surgery, and so you're seeing either a nurse practitioner or perhaps a physician assistant who's working with that surgeon to do some follow-up assessment. What I have heard since the passage of the previous telehealth law that we have in place is patients saying, hey, I can see the physician, but I can't see other members of that care team. And we're talking about the people that are working together. So I really appreciate the work of the previous committee to work on that patient protection piece, which is so critical. And for the Department of Commerce and their work in making sure there's opportunities for investigations. I will submit to you that this committee, I think, has an opportunity to really tighten up that language around what does the care team mean, get some better understanding about that, because we're talking about a really a unique and small group of providers that are part of a team. And by focusing on that, I think we can eliminate some of the concerns about casting a very wide net and being able to say come one, come all in terms of other providers. I would be happy to answer any questions you have going forward. I'm delighted that you're taking up this measure. It's been really tremendously beneficial to the Alaskan physicians that I work with, as well as patients, to be able to have that coordination both in-state and working with out-of-state when necessary for those serious, complex medical conditions. Thank you for your time this morning.
Do you have any questions for Ms. Neenan by members of the committee? If not, I do have one question. As far as the patient protection goes, are you saying you want this added as an amendment to this bill?
I think that the way that patient protections, to the members of the committee, the way that the patient protections were addressed in the bill, with having every member of the care team sign up for the telehealth registry, I think that was well intended. I just think there's probably a better way to get there if we can better define who the care team is, then I think we do not need to have every member of the care team registering. As another example, I think the renewal of the telehealth registry is great, because it was probably an oversight originally that we've got a list that's going to just keep growing forever, just as a static list. So I think having every member of the team have to register is particularly burdensome and could bog down the process. But if we can tighten up that definition so that people understand we're talking about a true team, this isn't just a random group of providers, I think that would be helpful.
Any further questions for Ms. Neenan by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for coming out this morning.
Thank you.
Next up is Kelly Mayer from Soldotna. Ms. Mayer, are you on, ma'am?
Hi. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak with you today. I'm Kelly Mari. I live in Kisilov, Alaska, and I am here today to offer my personal perspective of a person who survived two types of cancer, and also as an oncology social worker who supports patients who have cancer. Because of my first cancer diagnosis, I could not be treated in Alaska, and I had to receive care in another state. When I returned to Alaska, I continued to follow up with the multidisciplinary team members at Mayo Clinic while receiving care from our local providers. And because of that coordination of care, I was able to receive the best of care. I got my needs met. I saw many different providers, including nurses, NPs, PAs, OT, and so forth. But as an oncology social worker, I see similar situations with our patients. Our patients often need to seek services out of state, perhaps because of the same type of reason I had to. My cancer diagnosis was not able to be treated here in Alaska, and we're seeing the same things with our patients. So having telehealth accessibility with the out-of-state multidisciplinary team is essential for our patients' health and tremendously helpful to all of our Alaskans, and I thank you for your support.
Any questions of Ms. Murray by members of the committee? If not, I want to thank you very much for coming out this morning, Ms. Murray. I'd like to go ahead and open public testimony now for the Senate Finance Committee. First one up was going to be Seth Greiner. Mr. Greiner, are you on, sir?
I am. Thank you, sir. Good morning, Co-Chairs Olson, committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony on Senate Bill 91 related to telemedicine services and how individuals with multiple sclerosis are utilizing and benefiting from them. My name is Seth Greiner, and I am a senior advocacy manager with the National Multiple Sclerosis Society based here in Seattle, Washington. MS is an unpredictable, often debilitating disease of the central nervous system that disrupts flow of information within the brain and between the brain and the body. Symptoms do vary from person to person and range from numbness to tingling to walking difficulties, and then include fatigue, dizziness, pain, depression, blindness, and paralysis. The progression, severity, and specific symptoms of MS in any one person cannot yet be predicted, but advances in research and treatment are leading to a better understanding and moving us closer to a world free of MS. As we know, telehealth and telemedicine services help provide access to medically necessary care for individuals who may have limited mobility, live in areas with a shortage of primary or specialty healthcare providers, or where distance and conditions make travel unsafe or cost prohibitive. As we know, these services allow patients to access their healthcare through various platforms, including telephone, digital communications, and video. For many people living with multiple sclerosis, getting out of the house is not easy, and they may face physical barriers to receiving care. People with MS use mobility devices, may rely on public transportation or disability services to reach appointments, and these options can be unreliable and can lead to patients missing time slots. Additionally, as we well know, many Alaskans fly to Seattle and other lower 48 destinations for care, which is very expensive in both time and money. These virtual appointments means that people living with multiple sclerosis and other disabling chronic conditions can access the care when they need it. The MS Society supports Senate Bill 91 and believes that the expanded use of these services allows states like Alaska to save money, achieve significant cost savings, improve health, and improve their citizens' health outcomes. The MS Society is committed to working with healthcare providers and stakeholders to advance telemedicine, to continue to evolve and help support people living with multiple sclerosis. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for coming out. Do we have any questions for Mr. Greiner by members of the committee? If not, again, thank you very much for coming out this morning, and thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we have Beverly Woolley. Ms. Woolley from Big Lake, are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am. Thank you, and good morning, Chair Olson and committee members. For the record, my name is Beverly Woolley. I've been a resident of Alaska since the year we became a state. I was raised in Anchorage, spent a couple of years in Ukiapik, and currently I'm retired and living in the Big Lake area. And I thank you for the opportunity today to speak to you in favor of Senate Bill 91. As it's been discussed a little bit, House Bill 265, which was signed into a law in July of 22, created the framework and statute for telehealth provided by out-of-state physicians, thus providing increased access to care for patients and ensuring that Alaskans can get increased access for critical health care, oftentimes not available here. The bill before you today, Senate Bill 91, would expand those telehealth services available to Alaskans by allowing the out-of-state multidisciplinary care team members to provide telehealth services to people located in Alaska. On a personal note, in 2004, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, received my initial treatment in Alaska. It was excellent care. Due to the advanced stage of my tumor, my surgery required removal of all the axillary lymph nodes on my left side, and subsequently I developed lymphedema,
which is an accumulation of fluids and swelling in my left arm. And for many years, I really didn't have much of a problem at all. I was able to keep it under control with proper care. However, about 5 years ago, the swelling got progressively worse, and I resulted in quite a significant amount of pain, both in my arm and on the backside of my left arm, and eventually resulted in cellulitis in my left arm requiring medical treatment. I looked into options and found that there was specialized surgical treatment that could help to lessen my lymphedema and to help prevent future problems. However, those services were not available in Alaska, and they currently aren't available in Alaska. So in December of 22, I began care at the James Cancer Center at Ohio State University. And last June, as a part of my workup for the care they were providing me, they also discovered that I had a lung nodule on that left side, perhaps related to my cancer. So I've also been undergoing regular monitoring there every 3 to 6 months with a portion of their team and have received it there to maintain that continuity of care at the James Center. As you know, treating cancer is associated with complications, often complex, and it does require, as you've heard today, the experience and skill of a multidisciplinary team that may include several different medical and health professionals. This is really the standard of care, not only at the James Cancer Center, but at most cancer centers throughout the world today. And currently, under existing laws, the health services are only, with out-of-state providers, are only allowed between the patient and the physician. However, since my surgery, I have found that much of my care, as well as I think other cancer patients find this too, is provided by other members of the physician's team. You know, my surgeon's off doing surgeries on other folks, and quite frankly, it's not a good use of their time to be providing me with a follow-up care. And so it would be really beneficial if, to me, as well as others, if we were able to access the needed care without from the interdisciplinary team, without having to incur the time and the significant cost associated with flying out of state to a treatment center for oftentimes a very brief appointment with a member of that physician's multidisciplinary team. So I'm here today. I'm in the process now of making appointments with some of that multidisciplinary team and flying out to Ohio here in another month. It's very expensive. And so I really am here today to ask you to please look at, consider, and pass Senate Bill 91 to help ease the burden of many Alaskans whose care requires the experience and skills of a multidisciplinary care team. I thank you for your time, and if you have questions, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
Ms. Woolley, thank you very much for being a good example of hanging out there and hanging in there in spite of the difficulties that you've had. Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Ms. Woolley? Again, thank you very much for coming out this morning. We have no further questions.
Thank you.
Next, we have Michelle Foley. Ms. Foley, are you up in Fairbanks? Are you on, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Good morning, Senate Finance Committee. My name is Michelle Foley, and I live in Fairbanks. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 91. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, is a disease that is 100% fatal and has no cure and no effective treatment. The average lifespan after diagnosis is 2 to 5 years. ALS is a neurodegenerative disease that takes away your ability to talk, walk, and breathe. I was diagnosed with ALS in April 2023 and traveled to an ALS Center of Excellence in Seattle at the University of Washington for a comprehensive exam and a definitive diagnosis. There is not an ALS clinic in Alaska, nor a single doctor or neurologist in Alaska that specializes in ALS care. Since being diagnosed with ALS, I must travel out of state every 3 months to meet with my multidisciplinary care team, who has specialized knowledge in how to care for this 100% fatal disease. My ALS clinic team is comprised of neurologists, respiratory therapists, speech therapists, nutritionists, physical and occupational therapists, a social worker, and a whole team who understands ALS and knows how to care for an ALS patient. Studies have shown that patients who participate in an ALS clinic have longer survival rates. As ALS progresses, not only do you lose your ability to talk and breathe, it also paralyzes your body. Many ALS patients are wheelchair-bound, some completely paralyzed, making travel impossible. An ALS patient's ability to maintain access to their multidisciplinary team, a team who works together and communicates with each other, and a team where each individual member understands this complex disease, is paramount to extending the patient's survival. Indeed, it truly is a matter of life or death. I hope you will consider the speedy passage of Senate Bill 91 this session to allow patients like me to be able to have access to the health care they so desperately need. Thank you.
Any questions by members of the committee for Ms. Foley? Ms. Foley, thank you very much for coming out this morning. And thank you for continuing on with the fight against ALS.
I have a whole team of ALS warriors, so I'm in good hands. Thank you.
We'll go ahead and close public testimony. Set this bill aside. Before we set this bill aside, I'm sorry, Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions, one for Ms. Sullivan and Rob.
Sure. And Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Rob, I just want to make sure, because talking with my colleagues, we just want to make sure we have the right physical note. The note that is before us, is it UGF or DGF?
Ms. Rob.
For the record, Sullivan Rob, Director of Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. Through the Chair, Senator Wilson, the correct fiscal note shows the fund source is 1156. That's Receipt Supported Services.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Just want to make sure. And then I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but Mr. Chair, I just have a question here on Section 4 is the question that has been talked about a little bit today about the multidisciplinary team should register for the department. And I think this is the only section which states that on page 3, line 20 under 2, that the multidisciplinary team will be practicing and have proof of licensure. So there's no other place that talks about multidisciplinary team members being licensed in their home state or their state or territory or jurisdiction. And I just want to make sure if that's would that maybe be needed or should be recommended that we keep proof of licensure. Section 5 talks about if disciplinary actions, if they secure a license through deceit or fraud, if we find that, but there's no requirement of these other providers being licensed within their states of jurisdiction.
Ms. Robb.
Through the chair to Senator Wilson, it may be a question for the bill sponsor, but certainly I think everyone would be in favor of ensuring that members of the multidisciplinary care teams providing services to Alaska are licensed in some jurisdiction. Section 4 would ensure that the state of Alaska has proof of that licensure prior to them treating Alaskans.
Okay. And
Senator Klayman or Ms. Lubke, would you like to come up and address the question directly?
And also, Mr. Chair, I'm fine with removing that. I just want to make sure that we have licensure providers being seen or Alaskans.
Well, let's get it cleared up by this bill sponsor.
Thank you.
Senator Klayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Senator Wilson, I actually want to look at that carefully. My interest is that it be approached the exact same way as we've been doing telehealth since passage of the telehealth bill in 2022, HB 265. And I don't think we should be putting providers to a different standard than we put them in with 265. And again, I want to find out the answers, but I would tend to think that if somebody's providing telehealth, say they're based in Seattle, but it seems hard to imagine that they're not licensed in Washington, even if they're not licensed in Alaska. And I think that's part of the reason why we are approaching through a registry of businesses and not individuals. But
I'm Senator Wilson, would like to look into that.
No, I'll work with the bill sponsor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any closing questions by the bill sponsor or his aide before we set this bill aside? Do you have any closing comments, Mr. Senator Gleeman?
Thank you for hearing the bill today.
Ms. Luebke, do you have anything to say? Okay. Thank you very much for coming forward this morning. With that, we'll set this bill aside. This concludes our agenda for today. The next hearing is going to be this afternoon at 1:30. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 132, Education Head Tax, by Senator Bishop. There's no further business to come before the committee. We're adjourned at 10:30 a.m.